My dear Lord of the Vaikuntha planets, where there is no anxiety, my mind is extremely sinful and lusty, being sometimes so-called happy and sometimes so-called distressed. My mind is full of lamentation and fear, and it is always seeking more and more money. Thus, it has become most polluted and is never satisfied in the topics of concerning you. I am therefore most fallen and poor. In such a status of life, how shall I be able to discuss your activities? Srila Prabhupada's purport. Here, Prahlad Maharaj represents himself as a common man, although he actually has nothing to do with this material world. Prahlad is always situated in Vaikuntha planets of the spiritual world, but on behalf of the fallen souls, he asks how, when his mind is always disturbed by material things, he can discuss the transcendental position of the Lord. The mind becomes sinful because we are always engaged in sinful activities. Anything not connected with Krishna should be understood to be sinful. Indeed, Krishna demands in the Bhagavad Gita 18:66, Sarvadharman Parityaya Mamekam Sharanam Raja Aham Tvam Sarapabhyo Mukshyasyami Ma Suchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. As soon as one surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, Krishna immediately relieves one of the reactions of sinful activities. Therefore, one who is not surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord should be understood to be sinful, foolish, degraded among men, and bereft of all real knowledge because of atheistic propensities. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 7:15. Namam duskriti namudha prapadyante naradama mayaya paritagyana asuram bhavam ashrita. Therefore, especially in this age of Kali, the mind must be cleansed, and this is possible only by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Cheto Darpanam Ranjanam. In this age, the process of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the only method by which to cleanse the sinful mind. When the mind is completely cleansed of all sinful reactions, one can then understand his duty in the human form of life. The Krishna consciousness movement is meant to educate sinful men so that they may become pure, so that they may become pious, simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Harinam, Harinam, Harinam Kalevalo, Kalo Nasteva, Nasteva, Eva, Kalo Nasteva, Eva, Nasteva, Eva, Eva Gati Anyata, to cleanse the heart so that one may become sober and wise. In this age of Kali, there is no value to any method other than the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Prahlad Maharaj thus confirms this process in previous verses. Tvad Varya Gayana Mahamrita Magnatitaha. Prahlad further confirms that if one's mind is always absorbed in thought of Krishna, that very qualification will purify one and keep one purified always. To understand the Lord and his activities, one must free his mind from all contamination of the material world, and this one can achieve by simply chanting the Lord's holy name. Thus one becomes free from all material bondage.
Omagyana Tamanandasya Jananjana Salakaya Jaksur Amritam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vansakalpatihubhyastya Kripa Sindhubhaiva Terapatitadam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasati Gaur Bhakti Vrinda. Hare Krishna. Prahlad, as Prabhupada points out in the beginning of the purport, he starts by putting himself in a very lowly position for the benefit of everyone else, because as Prabhupada points out, that Prahlad Maharaj, he's a Vaikuntha man, he's a pure devotee. He is coming from the place where there is no anxiety. Of course, this is also an interesting technique for preaching, in the sense that just like Prabhupada, when he went to New York, he intermingled with all the fallen souls around him. He didn't present himself as being better. He was not disgusted either. He had to sometimes climb over drunkards and beggars and all kinds of low, degraded malechas just to get into his apartment. But not at any stage did he was he feeling disgusted. But rather, the more he saw, the more he felt compassion, that I have some work to do here, and by the grace of my guru, I hope that I can at least be a little successful in presenting Krishna consciousness to these poor persons. This is a word that's mentioned here. Those who do not have any insight to Krishna consciousness, they're most fallen and poor. I'd like to read just something which I've written recently as one of my weekly wisdoms, and it's entitled An Interview with God. And it's saying more or less the same things that are being said by Krishna's devotee Prahlad, but we can read from God's point of view also how he feels and sees things. I dreamt I had an interview with God. That's the title, An Interview with God. I dreamt I had an interview with God. "So you would like to interview me?" God asked. "If you have the time," I said. God smiled. "My time is eternal. What questions do you have in mind for me?" "Well, what surprises you most about mankind?" So God answered, oops, lost them. That's interesting. Can't do nothing. I can't even scroll down. There you go, using modern technology to give a class. And Krishna says, you're not going to use the modern technology. Take it from your own head. But I'm determined to read this, so I'm going to switch it off. And will it switch off? It will not switch off. Well, that's really interesting, isn't it? Does anyone know about... I was doing that. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Oh, it's turned off. Whew. Life's full of surprises. Anyway, I'll just carry on a little bit before reading this. Prahlad is pointing out the precarious situation of those in the material world who do not have any connection with Krishna consciousness. And he also cites the special favor that we have within this age, that something which is not given in any other age. And that is the ability to achieve all perfection through the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. That in this age of Kali, there is no other way, no other way, no other way, than the chanting of the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is a nice verse because it emphasizes. Prabhupada said that in the age of Kali, if you want to emphasize something, you must at least emphasize it 3 times. And he also said that if you want to know directions to somewhere, then you should also ask 3 different persons. Because then you'll be sure to get the right direction. Because if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. But we have a specific place where we want to go. And if you want to go in a particular place, you have to ask 3 different persons, because it's most likely that the first person is going to misdirect you, and maybe the second, but you should, by the time you ask for 3 of the 3rd person, you get the right direction. So in the same way, spiritual instructions can be given or emphasized, and in this particular verse, the emphasis is that there is no other way, no other way, no other way than Harinam, Harinam, Harinam. So first it says there's no other way, 3 times. If you don't hear it the first time, excuse me, Prabhu, but there is no other way. And if you don't hear it the 2nd time, Prabhu, I must emphasize this fact that there is no other way. Just chant Hare Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna, chant Hare Krishna. I could even end my class right there, because there is nothing else to say other than to say that, Prabhu, in this age there is no other way than chanting Hare Krishna. But I'll continue with this interview. I think we've got something here now. So, God smiled. My time is eternal. What questions do you have in mind for me? Well, what surprises you the most about mankind? God smiled. They get bored with childhood, rush to grow up, and long to be children again. But they lose their health to make money, and then lose their money to restore their health. That by thinking anxiously about the future, they forget the present, such that they live neither in the present nor the future. They have abandoned the commitment to raise children and in exchange it for walking and talking to their cats and dogs. That they live as if they will never die and die as though they have never lived. And then I asked, as a parent, what are some of the life's lessons you want your children to learn? Do not expect respect, but give respect to others. Seek not to be understood, but seek to understand. Do not demand to be loved, but aspire to extend your love to others. To lose money, prestige, health, or even life itself is not such a loss. To lose faith is the greatest loss. Is there anything else you would like your children to know? For my devotee, death is not the end, but just the beginning. The beginning of entrance into a realm of eternity. But for the atheist and for the materialist, death is simply an end of everything they identify with thinking. It is everlasting. So two things are very important. A very mature and honest understanding of the dangers and sufferings of the material existence, and faith that my holy name have descended to give the eternal soul supreme shelter. Thank you for your time, I said humbly. God smiled and said, just reassure your readers that I am always available if they want me. However, I will never interfere with the independence I have given them. I'm waiting anxiously for them to return back home whenever they so choose to. Did you like that? I like it. That's why I wanted to read it. But the point being made here is that running into the desert, trying to find water, we're leaving the spot where there is actually a reservoir of water, but then running into the place, which is a desert where there's no water. This is the precarious situation of materialistic life. It is based on two phenomena. One is hankering, and the other is lamentation. Hankering for what we don't have, and then lamenting because once we get it, we find that it's not actually giving us what we expected in the first place. So we have come to Krishna consciousness because we are tired of hankering, this process, this status of hankering and lamentation, because it is a continuous wheel of repetition, you know, hankering, lamentation. And if you take that into a broader picture, it is a repetition of birth, birth, death. one can get very, very dizzy in that situation. However, Krishna consciousness is a science. It's a formula, a simple formula, a scientific formula, whereby one can execute activities on a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month, year-to-year, for the rest of our life, in a way that we can not only regain our consciousness, which is being our divine consciousness, we can also reestablish our eternal link and relationship with Krishna, and we can also eventually return home back to Krishna. So I was thinking while writing this particular essay that it would also be interesting to write one of those in connection with devotees, because it's not that just by coming to Krishna consciousness and putting on dhoti tilak, sari, and living in the temple, do we overcome all our problems? In fact, as Prabhupada pointed out, that Krishna consciousness itself is very, very easy, but the difficulty is that we bring in all our complications into Krishna consciousness, and that makes Krishna consciousness actually very, very difficult. It's an easy, sublime process, but it's difficult because of our past impressions, our karmic reactions. Although, as we practice our Krishna consciousness, things do get better if we actually stick to the process. The process works, but because of our complications, sometimes we fall short of achieving our goal. And one of our complications is that we're impatient. Being very impatient, we tend to we tend to not give enough time for Krishna consciousness to work. As I pointed out, it's a lifetime process. It's not a process by which we can achieve within a short period of time. We've got a lot of work to do, and being impatient is not a very good idea. But what is a good idea is being very patient. It is one of the six positive attributes to Krishna consciousness, which is mentioned in the Nectar of Instructions, to be patient, to be also enthusiastic is another important qualification. It's not easy to be enthusiastic when we don't have enough faith. In fact, it's almost like we have to psych ourselves up sometimes in order to be enthusiastic. But that's okay. And Vishwanath Chakravarti points that out, that better false enthusiasm than no enthusiasm. And probably also used to point that out, better than a blind uncle, better a blind uncle than no uncle. So meaning that whatever deficiencies we have, that's okay. But we should push forward, push on, continue the process with enthusiasm. Impatience also indicates that we're thinking that Krishna consciousness being an easy process, all I have to do is chant the holy name. That's all we have to do, but within the process of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, there's also things that we can add to that. There's additions. This is a science, but though the formula is there, there are things that we can do to enhance our own Krishna consciousness. So one of the things is that we can perform our activities, but it's how we perform them. Are we going to perform them with enthusiasm, or are we going to perform them in a lackhazardous way? It's like I can sit here and I can just sit back and give this class and not be so determined about it at all. Well, it's just another Srimad Bhagavatam class. The devotees here at Bhaktivedanta Manor, they're not really interested in what I have to say. They get so many sannyasis coming here, so many more qualified persons than I. They have listened to them. What can I say that's going to make any difference? And I could think like that. So I could just sit back and just repeat some of the things that are mentioned in the purport and then sum everything up and say Hare Krishna. Or I could just perk up a little bit, keep my back straight, be attentive, try to invoke some of my spiritual master's mercy and ask him, please, my dear spiritual master, I have no qualification sitting here, but I have a whole bunch of devotees here listening to me this morning. What shall I say? Could you give me some inspiration? Can you give me some ideas of what to say today in order to enter into the hearts of those who are sitting here? They have taken their time to sit here, and they should at least be able to walk away feeling somewhat satisfied. So these are two angles we can look at Krishna consciousness. One is full of apathy, and I'll just do my little bit. Or we can say, oh no, wait, Krishna consciousness? Well, Krishna consciousness means taking challenges. Prabhupada also used to say that we should, what was that he said? It's in connection with austerities. Voluntarily, that's right. He said we should voluntarily accept austerities within Krishna consciousness. So we can choose even that. We can choose, well, I would prefer to be less involved in any austerity. Yeah. But if we take some austerity, then that's going more into details of Krishna consciousness. You're actually indicating to Krishna that you're more sincere than someone who will not take any tapasya or austerity. So there's service and there's service. There's devotees and there's devotees. There's liberation and there's liberation. There's different levels. And as it's pointed out in this statement that Krishna says, that I don't interfere. I will not interfere with your independence. You can decide when you wish to come to me and how you wish to come to me. So since the mention of the holy name is very prominent in this verse today, and also the problems of the mind, I just want to spend some time talking about the mind, the mind's the mind coming in between you or us in our chanting of the holy name. So the holy name is full of Krishna's pastimes. It is the power, has the power and potency to cleanse us from all sinful reactions. It has the power to liberate us, to make the mind peaceful, the senses illuminated. It has the power to liberate us from the miseries of this material world and allow us to go back to the spiritual world. So again, there is chanting and there is chanting. We can chant our japa in one way, or we can chant our japa in another way. It's not just a question of taking the beads and saying, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. As if to say, well, this is all I have to do. It is said that. Prabhupada is saying that. But if we take it, the essence, because it's also, he also mentions giving up everything and surrendering to Krishna, which means to give our mind to Krishna too. What does the mind generally want? Well, it wants anything and everything. It doesn't really want to hear the holy name. It wants to hear everything else. It wants everything else. And it's also dictating a lot to us. We know how it is when we sit and chant. So there are different techniques even within the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. So just to mention a few. I was just recently reading Purijan Maharaj's book on japa, and he gives a few tips there which I've been trying and I found to be quite successful. One of the points that he makes is that because the mind is such a rascal, you should try to give the mind the simplest task. If you tell the mind, okay, mind, we're going to now chant 16 rounds, the mind is not going to be very happy with that. Of course, we can beat the mind. We can get up so early in the morning that the mind doesn't get up so early. That's one of the things that I've noticed, is that my mind generally doesn't get up until 5 o'clock or something like that. And then it starts to wander around and dictate. But if you get up, let's say, early, I mean, perhaps you've had the experience of getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning. And that time of the morning is very pleasant anyway. There's no sound, there's nothing really to disturb you. And it's also something special about that time in the morning where the time seems to go very, very slow. Not like in the evening when you're trying to chant a few, let's say you got 4 rounds left in the evening and you're trying to chant those 4 rounds. As first of all, it's practically impossible to chant that time of the evening. But you notice if you do try to chant, then you can even chant 1 round in 1 hour. The time goes so fast. Amazingly fast. Whereas early in the morning, sattvic, Vaikuntha mood, the time seems to stand still. And there you are chanting. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And everything just seems to float so easily. It's almost like your japa is effortlessly performed. And before you know it, you've chanted your 16 rounds. And one of the reasons is the fact that mind has not woken up. There's a way in which you can beat the mind. When I say beat the mind, that beat in getting up earlier than the mind. That is a, at least my experience is that the earlier you get up, the easier it is to chant your rounds. Prabhupada also said that if you can chant your 16 rounds before 10 o'clock in the morning, then the rest of the day you will find to be very peaceful. There will be no anxiety. When we know at 10 o'clock that we still have 6 rounds to do, the tendency is that we're somewhat in anxiety, although it's in the back of our mind, still that anxiety is there. Oh, I still have 6 rounds to do. And that anxiety will continue until you've completed your 16 rounds. So getting up early means also taking rest early. This is another tendency, even amongst devotees, that we have, because we're so conditioned to thinking that night life is the best life. So we continue that even within Krishna consciousness. We just haven't come over that conditioning that night life is the best life. The best time of the day is the morning, the early morning hours. In order to get up early, we have to take rest early. Of course, sometimes we have festivals and that there are kind of exceptional days where we indulge a little bit. And, well, it's not just indulging, we make a major sacrifice sometimes. But as a general principle, early resting, early rising. And if we actually do that, we'll be surprised the effect that that has, not just in our morning japa, but the fact that we can chant our morning japa so early and complete it, that will make an effect on the rest of the day. Simply because we have achieved that. Our japa is a foundation for the rest of the day's activities. If we can complete the priorities of life in the very beginning of the day, then the lesser priorities will be achieved as well and even much better. Sometimes, of course, we think that the priorities are social and domestic activities, and we tend to do those first and consider our japa to be less important, and we do that second. So we soon learn within our practices and principles of Krishna consciousness that that's not a good idea, that there are priorities, and if we set the right priorities at the right time, then things become much more easier. So one of the other things that we can help in regards to controlling the mind is to tell the mind that we're going to be very persistent. Is it time for stopping now? Is it time to stop? Yeah? Okay. So one of the mind's activities is to is to be restless, so we have to sit the mind down. Bhaktisiddhanta said that we have to negotiate. Of course, he uses the words beat the mind with a stick and with a shoe. But what actually that means is negotiating with the mind. Negotiating meaning that we tell the mind that if you help me chanting my 16 rounds, then when I've completed my 16 rounds, then you can do whatever you like after that. Of course, that is kind of like a trick, because after chanting 16 rounds, the mind is peaceful anyway. The mind is like a child's, and just as you can trick a child, sometimes you have to trick the mind. The child also needs borders. You have to keep the child within a border, in a framework. So the mind has to be kept within a certain framework. We actually have to dictate to the mind that we are actually very determined in this life to execute Krishna consciousness. Point out to the mind that we have served the mind and the senses lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, but in this life, I'm going to give Krishna consciousness a try. So be prepared, mind. I don't care what you say, I don't care what you think, but I'm going to execute Krishna consciousness for the next 30 years. You can even tell the mind that. And the interesting thing is, when you preach to the mind actually it realizes that you're serious in what you're doing. You're serious in your mission to be a devotee and to achieve the perfection of life. And that's good for the mind to keep hearing. If the mind is always in a subordinate position, then it will say and do whatever it likes and therefore has complete control. So somehow or other, if we can get the mind under our control, we're the spirit soul. We have an eternal relationship with Krishna. In essence, we have nothing to do with the body or the mind. But we need the body and we need the mind in our executions of devotional service. So to try to negate, sometimes yogis and mayavadis, they sit and try to make a vacuum within the mind, to negate everything. If I negate everything, then that will be my conquering over the mind. But as Prabhupada pointed out, that you can negate as much as you like, but after some time you will have to, the mind has to stay, has to be engaged in some way. The mind cannot remain idle. So just as a child, you can tell the child, stop your nonsense. The child will stop for some time. Oh, I have been asked to stop my nonsense. So it will stop. But then after some time it will start again, because it has there's no activity. As the child needs activity, so the mind also needs something. It needs some activity. And this is why it's being suggested here, that our main principle and practice on a day-to-day basis is to chant our 16 rounds, chant it in a way that we can overcome the influences of the mind's demands and the urges of the senses. I'll stop there. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Shishi Gaur Nitya ki, Nitya Gaur Prem.